Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Yachting International Radio. This is Diversity in Yachting, and my name is Gabriella. I'm your host, and today we are joined by Captain Emily Vasquez. Welcome to the show. Thank you for making time for me. I'm so excited to hear about your story.
I'm excited too. Thank you for having me.
You look like you're like in the Dominican Republic right now.
I might as well be, but soon enough, when the restrictions lift up a little bit more, I'll be here with a mimosa in my hand sometime soon.
Good. So I'm super excited to chat with you about your journey in becoming a captain. You work in yachting, obviously. Yes. And I want to know, I mean, I don't think you're probably younger than me, but I want to know how you ended up as a captain and doing what you do now. So can you please enlighten us and the viewers as to how you got here?
Yeah, it's a kind of a wonky story. I was coming back from a European like 3-month venture of backpacking, and my godmother texted me telling me that she needed a bartender for Fort Lauderdale Boat Show back in 2018. Yeah, 2018. And I told her I could do it. I went there and I was working with Burgess, which is a super yacht company, crew placement, bunch of brokers as well, the whole shebang. And I was there for maybe like my third day in, and one of the brokers came up to me and said, "Hey, like, you should be a stew. You have great attitude, great atmosphere, great vibes. Like, these are the classes you need to take. Please let me know like when you want to become a stew and we will get you into that." And I thought about it, and what really turned it to me is when she brought me onto one of these most beautiful boats. It was a 132-foot boat, and she told me to close my eyes at the bow and just imagine myself like in Alaska. And I said, "Okay, I'm sold on the dream. I'm doing it." A week later, I did my SCCW and finished my classes, sent her an email back. And that's kind of where I got my foot in the door. And from there, I just started working in Miami Beach Marina. I was the inside office person, then started working on boats. Then I figured out that I don't really like being in the interior as much as I like being in the exterior. And that just gave me a passion inside of me saying, I need to be behind the helm and I want to get here. How do I get there? And 2 years after that, I took my 100-ton captain's class and here I am.
Oh my God, that's so badass. But the whole story sounds very familiar to me. You know, obviously like people that watch the show will know that I'm like, oh, I started in hospitality and then I just kind of fell into this. But like, where are you from originally? Like what state? You're American, obviously.
Yeah. So I am Dominican, Puerto Rican. I was born in Dominican Republic and I moved to Miami Beach when I was 2. And I was raised in Miami my whole life. I haven't really ever left Miami.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's a great, I mean, we're the yachting capital of the world. Fort Lauderdale is, and that's where I live now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've always grew up on the water, did things on the water. I just never knew that was an opportunity or even a career path I could take. So that's an awesome choice.
So, I mean, that is so, I'm so excited. Like right now I'm just like so giggly and like, oh my God, tell me more. Because like I said, because of my hospitality background, I fell into the stewardess role. But I really want to be a deckie and go the exterior route. Yeah. And so meeting people like you really just like lights the fire under me. Like, oh, I can do it. I totally can do it.
Yes, you can. 100%. I believe in it.
Yeah. And so like, did you ever have any hesitations or trepidation about A, working on yachts, and B, did being the fact that you are a pretty brown girl ever come into play in your decision-making? Or was it just, this is what I'm doing and then whatever, moving on?
It was very hard to get onto a boat, not having any experience on a boat. It was a lot of free labor on my end. A lot of just, let me do it. Like, let me go when you're doing engine room work. Let me go when you're, wanting to wash down the boat. Like, I want to learn. I want to know how to do it. And I was that little, like, I always say, like, I'm a little parasite. And until you give me what I want, I'm going to keep bothering you and like going at you until you finally give in. So that was one obstacle I had to face. And then the second one, when I was already in the industry, when I was already a stew, I did my job and I never got too many complaints. And when I would want to learn more about the engine room or do more deck work, I saw myself constantly getting pushed in a corner to only be a stew, to one point where a boat that I was working on, it was a 75-foot boat. I told the owner, I want to be your captain. Like, I want to train for that position. The captain that was in that position was already giving me the ropes. And what I got in return was, I don't want you to be that. I want you to stay as my stew. I like
Like,
how
you're
you do
pretty
the
too.
service.
Like, I think there's just some weird old school mentality where it's like, you're pretty. Like, people want to see you serving their food and, housekeeping. Like, you're a really attractive woman. I want you to be serving my cocktails, not driving my boat.
Yes, 100%. I've gotten that all the time. And it just comes down to putting your foot down, saying, I'm not doing this. I'm revoking that title from myself. And if you want to hire me, I'm only going to be a mate and I'm only going to be a captain. And no, I'm sorry, I'm not wearing a skort or a skirt or anything else. I'm only wearing shorts.
I'm
And that's my
wearing
uniform now.
the pants
Yeah, it
on
was the day that I said I'm no longer wearing a skort to work. I refuse. I'm going to be wearing shorts. That things started clicking and people started taking me more seriously about what I wanted to do. But it takes a lot of sticking up for yourself, a lot of, being okay with doing things wrong at first because no one really is there to guide you,
boat.
especially in the bracket that I worked in, which is under 100 feet. So I don't have anyone else to look up to. Like, if I was lucky, maybe there was another mate on board. But it was usually just crews of two or three people. So yeah, it was
Wow.
a little bit harder to get yourself to do stuff on the outside, but also my position was always deck stew. So not only serving the
Me, that's
drinks,
me
doing
right
the
now.
lines, doing the fenders, doing the toys, like running around constantly all day. So it becomes a little bit harder, but like I said, be a little parasite and just keep going at it until they tell you yes.
Wow. I mean, I totally relate because, like I said, I fall into the interior role because of my extensive hospitality background. But my passion and where I shine, I think, is on deck. Someone probably wouldn't be so happy with my dusting skills, but like watching me dock, they'd be like, wow, you are so calm and collected and cool. And I'd be like, oh, is that hard? Parallel
That's
parking a
awesome.
yacht, is that supposed to be hard?
Make everything
So,
look easy.
right. I'm just like, no, this is what I like, so it comes natural.
It shines. It'll be a glow off of you that that person really just loves their job, and it's amazing to see someone so eager and so in love with what they do versus getting pushed into something that they don't want to be doing.
Right. So I'm still, like, to me, I'm green. I've been in the industry for a year. I'm green, and I've been fortunate enough to be a dual position, a soul stew, a deck stew, a stew deck, whatever. So, like, I don't think that I know everything, but like, I do see the importance of being a well-rounded crew member. And so when I met you, I was just like, oh, I have to hear what she has to say about this. And so, in total, how long have you been in the industry? When, doesn't matter which position, like, when did you first enter?
I entered back in 2018, so that would be making it 18, 19, 20, 21, 3 years.
Okay.
3 years, and I still feel I'm still learning things every day. I don't think it's an industry that anyone can ever really look back and say, I know everything. There's new things coming out all the time. All boats have their quirks, especially meme, like I know one brand, but now there's like 50 other ones that you still need to learn and know. So I think it would be a fool for anyone to say that they're 100% knowledgeable of the entire industry. But I would say I'm getting there. I'm not totally green. I definitely am not totally seasoned. I'm that middle path.
Where did you get the confidence to be like, I'm gonna be a captain and I'm gonna do this? Like, I mean, just with the world that we live in, you would probably be underestimated all the time just
Oh,
because,
yeah.
you
I
know,
usually
like,
get people when I tell them I'm a captain, they're like, oh, you have your six pack. I'm like, no, I don't have my six pack. I have my
I'm
100 done.
limited.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a little interesting. I think the day that really broke it down to me, and I'm so graphic, but it was when I was like in the shower, there was at least 3 inches of vomit that I had to clean up. So I think that's when I realized I really don't like what I'm doing, and I'm gonna see like what else is on here, because I love being on the water. I love doing everything else, but I'm literally just cleaning someone's puke like for 30 minutes of my life. Like that's not where I saw myself going. So that was definitely a confrontational moment with myself. And that's when I said I need to do more. I want to be more. I'm in school for nursing too. So nursing is not my priority. Being a captain is my priority. So it was just that day that I said that whatever it takes, I'm gonna do it. And I stuck to it, which is exciting. And I'm still sticking to it, which is something that I cannot say you need to do no matter how
I mean,
much you
that's
mess up.
pretty, it's just really cool. Like, first of all, I have a lot of respect. There's only a few people that I have a lot of respect for. Chefs and captains. Everyone else in between can literally fuck off. I really don't care.
Oh no.
Like,
It's your
honestly,
crew makes you though. It's your crew that makes you.
I understand the hierarchy, but I think I compare it to the military. So if you went to university and then became an officer in the army, I wouldn't respect you as much as I would respect like my sergeant that didn't go to college but has been in the military. So I kind of look at both the same way. It's just like you don't really have the life experience in this position. You went to college and then you became this, right? So on a boat, I would say that people that have worked their way up or worked their way through the positions and hierarchy that I would probably trust a little bit more than someone
Oh,
that
for
just went to
sure.
maritime school.
Yeah, I mean, but don't discredit the person who went to maritime school either.
Oh,
I
no, they know a
definitely
ton.
value both. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. So this is something that maybe is a little internal battle with myself.
Yeah.
I will agree with you there. This is a new industry for me too. So, like, yes, I'm learning this as I go. But I just think it's incredible. So I was like, okay, I don't want to do interior anymore. I want to do exterior. I know I can do it. And now even the entry level positions are asking for your OOW and like a bunch of like licenses. Like, how would a green deckie get certified to even be a green deckie?
So that is the field where that's when it becomes 100+. And this is going to be, and I'm sorry to whoever this might potentially offend.
Me.
But no. The deckies that are on board now, there's deckies that have 200 gross tons, and you ask them to drive a tender and they can't even do that. So I wouldn't let the fact that you need, a six pack or 100 ton or 200 ton discourage you. I would really focus on getting your hands on actually driving that boat, like actually driving a 30-foot tender. Drive a 40-foot tender if you have the chance, because it's all about experience level that you have. And I would hate for you to fall into the category of being a paper captain. That's usually what deckies fall
Thank you for saying
into.
that. I think that's what I was trying to explain in a very terrible way a couple of weeks ago, is that some people like fall through the cracks or like slide through.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, they don't have the applied knowledge. So I think that just is touching on what you're saying right now. Like, you can be a paper captain or you can be a real fucking captain.
Exactly. And then I would also recommend, because regardless, if you are working on bigger boats, you are going to need the tonnage just for their insurance purposes. So for the license that I got in the beginning, I have 100-ton inland. So that means that there's a line of demarcation that makes it inland and international waters. The inland, I believe, and whoever can correct me if I'm wrong, it's about 360 days of sea time that you need. And that's all I could apply for because I've only been in the industry for a little less than a year. So I didn't have the time, but I had enough time to get my 100-ton inland. Now, in July is when I'm going to be upgrading to my 100-ton near coastal, which allows me up to 200 miles offshore, which right now I don't need, but it's always great to have just in case. But that's a thing that I would go for if I were you. I would say, really, like, track your sea time as much as you can.
Oh,
Look at
see,
yourself
I've done
every
so
time that
many
you step
crossings
on a
and I
boat.
don't have any of the sea time recorded. Like, what?
So remind yourself, when did you work? You're working all of these gigs and doing all of these shifts. All you need is between 4 to 8 hours, something like that. And that's
Way
considered
more than
one
that.
day. So I would definitely reach out to, I don't know if California has a maritime school. I would definitely stick to Fort Lauderdale, go there for 11 days, talk to Sea School, talk to MPT. There are a lot of academies that can help you with it. And it's all about knowing how much sea time you have. And within the time frame that you took the class, you have a year to apply for your license. So you can still be done with your classes, but then, still be gathering your sea time and then apply for it within that 1 year. So there's a lot of ways and, things to do to get around how you can apply yourself into that. And I would say the earlier you get a hop on it, the better, just because you don't know what your schedule is looking like. So, take 11 days, take that pay sacrifice that you have, and do your 11 days of classes, see how much sea time you have, go from there, and hop on anyone and everyone's boat. That's how I did. Like I said, I got paid nothing, $0, to learn and to have the knowledge that I do now. You have to sometimes just sacrifice your time and money to
It's an investment in yourself.
invest in yourself enough to say, okay, hey, I'm not going to be getting paid for X amount of days, but that's going to multiply itself with how much ever money I have because of all of this experience. And in the long run, you are going to have the money that you weren't making now, but it's just delayed gratification, like I like to call it.
Right. No, it really is. Like, you're not going to see, like, when you start working out, it takes 3 months to see results at least. Right. And most people quit before then. They're like, I'm working out every day. I don't see anything happening. It's like that with yachting. Like, you have to hurry up and get your certification so you can get your foot in the door. Once you're in it and you're in entry level position, now you're like, okay, what am I the best at? Where do I shine? What should I do from here? And like, you kind of figure it out as you're going. What would you tell a greenie coming into the industry, a woman or a woman of color? What advice do you have for our viewers that are not in it yet, but like want to be?
It is all about the passion that you have inside of you. That's what's going to keep you going. So, for example, I had like a crazy moment where I just drew on my wall my manifestations. So I manifested what I want to be doing, where I want to see myself going. And when times got hard, and like we're talking about, I would just get off of a 16-hour day. I don't feel my feet. My back is killing me. Like I'm tired. I'm probably gonna cry at this point because of just how drained I feel. I go back to my wall, I look at it, and then I remind myself, this is why I'm doing it. Like this is what it's for. Have that list on your phone, anything that's accessible, easy to reach. Because along the way, for people who are, new, they're gonna get a lot of, oopsie moments. Oh, you were supposed to use this
Oh
product instead of
my
that one.
God.
Why did you think about not using chemicals?
Say
Like,
that. I have
there's
like
a lot of.
about
I'm sorry if I trigger
the
you.
time that I put freaking like dish soap in the dishwasher and flooded the whole galley with
Oh
bubbles.
no.
And
Yeah, there's
everyone
going to be a
was
lot of those, and there's going to be a ton more to come. So it's
like,
just really like when I did it, I remember like a bunch of Facebook groups I would join, and like I have my notifications on, so every time someone asks a question to what product to use where, I get a notification. I read all of it, even the comments. Love the comment
I
section.
do too. I
And
love
that's
the
how
comment
I
section.
learn.
It's so good.
You have to like explore, open your mind up to all of these different things. So that's one piece of advice. The second one would be really have thick skin. Like I said, it is going to get hard. People, I don't know how everyone in the industry is. For me, I had a few captains that really made me question why I wanted to do this, and made me feel like crap. But it's just back to point one, knowing why you're there for, knowing why you're doing it. So have thick skin. Please don't take it personal because it's just
Know that
the
you're
way
good
it
at your
works.
job too. Know that you are qualified. Know that you are skilled. And you know that because you've done the research and you've studied and you've learned. So when people are kind of crappy to you, you're like, thank you for letting me know. But also, I know what I'm doing. When you really don't know what you're doing on a boat and everyone's pointing it out that you really don't know what you're doing, you could either learn or you could be like, I should probably go.
For sure. For 100%. I remember doing, what was it? It was I was doing like cleaning the glass outside, and I was terrible. I was using Windex. Like I went to the store and I bought Windex. So I'm like, this is what you use for glass cleaner. That was what my brain said. And I've been doing
Common
this for
sense
ages.
on land.
Yeah, I'm like, I've been doing this for ages. Like I've been working on this boat for a few months. No one's told me otherwise. Like this is just the way I know. This is the way I'm doing it. It wasn't until it was an 88-foot boat. So it was the stew, a mate, and the captain. And the mate and I would work together, obviously, because he was trying to help me learn things. Thank God for him. But he was like, darling, we don't use that. We use a half and half solution, half water, half vinegar. This is how you do it. We're gonna put the squeegee on there, take it off like that. Super simple. Saved me so much time and like anger towards the little streak marks that I would see. So it's little things like that. You have to really take people's advice and view of you like a grain of salt, because if you let that determine your career in yachting, you're not going to go far at all.
So
So it's
would you agree that like when you so when you transition from land-based everyday life and experiences onto a boat, would you agree that like everything you do is stupid and none of it makes sense?
you're learning a new language.
Yeah,
You're learning a
right?
new language. You're learning a new lingo. I remember when I said I had to go to the bathroom, I just got stared
You're
at.
like a wet
A
dip.
who? That exists?
It's called the head.
The head. Yes, there's new lingo to go with it. There's a different way things work. The different programs you get on, the different times people consider the morning. So I was a mate actually on a boat for the first time. This was a while ago, and it was a 92-foot princess, and we were docked at Fisher Island in Miami. And the captain's like, all right, in the morning we're gonna do this, this, and this. My mornings start at 9 to 10 in the morning for a normal human being. I am a normal human being on land. The morning was 6 a.m. So he came in, knocked on the door, and was like, why are you not dressed and ready to go? I'm like, it's 6 in the morning. Like, I'm just waking up. What's going on here? So it's a lot. But again, don't let that discourage you. There's just a lot of learning. The beautiful thing, the internet does exist. It's there for you. It's there to help you. And there's so many social forums that you can do. And honestly, they're probably gonna try to light you on fire with the questions that you ask. But like I said, take it like a grain of salt. It's okay. Keep moving on. No one's gonna, like, I don't remember most of the comments that were made about me anymore.
Yeah.
It's just all been far done and
I just
gone.
feel like yachting is an industry that has made me feel comfortable in the space where I am just treated like an idiot. I'm
That's
okay with
exactly,
it.
that's a perfect one. I feel like an idiot almost all the time. If I think I know what I'm doing, I am so far from the truth. So I love telling potential owners and clients when they ask me what's going on, I just look at them and I'm like, that is a great question that I will hopefully find the answer for. Let me get back to you because it's okay to not know everything. And they like the honesty and the transparency to be had, because that's at the end of the day, and that comes to my last point of advice, is that network that you're going to create and establish. There's always going to be people who are older than you that are going to know a whole lot more.
I
And
believe in you too.
thankfully, those are the people who have gotten me out of sticky situations, because those are my mentors. I reach out to people that have been in the industry for 10 plus years, 20 plus years, and I say, hey, I don't know what to do. I don't know like how I'm supposed to address this matter. I don't know about this section of the boat. I don't know, how am I supposed to address X, Y, and Z in a manner that my professional integrity is still intact. So there's a lot of questions that I ask that, like I said, won't know the answer to, and that's completely okay. And it's beautiful that I have a phone that can dial five people on my go list that can help me and guide me through the way, because the same people have gone through that like mentorship program with others. So really find your group of people who are always down to help you, even with the stupid little questions that you have, bother them all the time. And that's how I think those three things is what will make you successful and last a long time in the industry.
I think that that's very sound advice. I think it's super cool. And I think that when I talk about this, it's like the whole point of the show is to highlight people that maybe don't, that are not just out there all the time. Like we, in our Facebook groups, we see the same yachties being reposted and bragged about constantly. Okay. So like my point for in doing interviews like this is like, hey, I'm just going to showcase other types of people that also are qualified and know what they're doing and know what they're talking about, in hopes that we will continue to inspire other people that maybe think about doing this or want to, but then they're like, well, I don't see anyone that looks like me in this. We're here, we're doing it.
We're just bringing back the rock and showing you that there's a whole world under here. You just gotta keep digging and you'll find us.
Exactly. And I'm like, I told you, I'm looking to get into exterior and leave my interior experience behind at some point. So like I've just learned so much from you and I'm super excited to start getting qualified because I want to be the boss. I want to drive the boat. I want to tell everyone what to do. So like I gained so much from this conversation that I hope someone watching this at home is going to feel the same way.
I hope so. And remember, the more scared you are, the more attentive you'll be. So if you're scared about it, you're going in the right direction. Just keep pushing through it.
Absolutely. So I think we should just, wrap it up there. Like, thank you everyone for watching Yachting International Radio, Diversity in Yachting. I'm your host, Gabriella. Today we're joined with Emily Vasquez and Captain Emily Vasquez. And stay tuned for next week's episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.